As I reviewed this slide that I'm starting out with this morning, that caught my heart, and it has been a while processing it. 50 days ago was Passover. And as you look at this picture, saying Passover, the blood of Jesus covers the doorposts and the sides. The lamb is on one side, the lion is on the other. And now we are at the place of Pentecost. The cross is in the middle. And what does the cross release? It releases the resurrection power. 1450 BC, the Israelites were released from a life of slavery. When you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, you were released from a life of slavery. Amen. To sin.
Hallelujah.
The only thing about that is it's so easy to not know what's sin and what isn't, because all of us came into this world contaminated and defiled by sin. And we got comfortable with it. We didn't know many times that we were defiled and that we were believing lies. And God says, I'm shaking the earth and the heavens, and I'm making a change, and I'm making a new alignment. You don't have to be real smart to look around to see how He's aligning the nations. Isn't it great we have a president that has said that the center capital of Jerusalem is in Israel, or Israel, Jerusalem is the capital of Israel, and has put our embassy there. Many have promised, but now it's been delivered. We have a president that's not perfect. You're not perfect. I'm not perfect. But he's following God as best he knows how. And we are to be supporting him, that he will see, have the veil pull back from the weaknesses that have controlled him, just as we want them pulled back for us. I'm ready now, are you, at this strategic time, when we've had a time of worship today. Father, we thank you. Jesus, we thank you that you provided it. And we thank you, Holy Spirit, that you ushered it in and executed it. Thank you that we were able to go behind the veil today and attach and embrace His Spirit. Are you ready for what He has for you personally? Isaiah 61, 7 through 8 tells us, and as Craig mentioned earlier, it's written in our four winds room on the chalkboard, that this is the year of the door. Jesus is the door. He has for you, according to Isaiah 61, 7 and 8, He has for you, for your former shame. How many of us have felt shame? I dare say all of us have. He said, for your former shame, ye shall have a twofold recompense. How many are up for a twofold recompense that is doubled for the shame that we've experienced? Instead of dishonor, haven't we all felt dishonored? And we have been dishonored. And reproach, we've all carried reproach. Your people shall rejoice in their portion, therefore in their land they shall possess double what they forfeited. Now's the time. Do you want to step in the river of living water, behind the veil, living in the Holy of Holies, for which He created you? He created us because He wanted someone to have intimacy with, to enjoy being together. I bask in what that means. Let's go back and finish reading this. He's going to give us double for what we've forfeited, everlasting joy shall be theirs. Now, everlasting joy doesn't mean a giggly, ha-ha, carefree something. It means peace and contentment, a peace that runs deep, knowing that you're secure in who you are. You're walking with someone that is sovereign, and he rules and reigns. As Whitney gave the word, be still. What's the rest of that verse in Psalms 46:10? Be still and know that I'm God. He says, let me be God. Don't let anybody else be God in your life. I'm a jealous God, and I'm not going to share you with anybody else. He says, I want your heart. I want to give you an everlasting joy that nothing can touch. It doesn't mean there won't be suffering there. It doesn't mean there won't be pain, but you'll be content that he's God, he's ruling, and you're okay. Whatever happens is okay. And so therefore, we, in order to move from that foundation, we must saturate ourselves in our God. When we were chosen before the foundation of the world, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Father just loved talking to the Son, having fun with Him, communicating with Him, enjoying His presence. And the Son just enjoyed the Father. And the Father said, I want a whole bunch more sons like Jesus. Jesus said, I'll give them to you. I'll do it. And Father said, and I will take all those sons and make them your bride. Wow. And Holy Spirit said, that's a good plan, and I'll execute it. I'll pull back the veil where they don't know they're defiled, where they don't know they've been deceived, where they haven't understood. I'll begin pulling it back just enough so they don't pass out and they run into my arms and let me hold them. And so we are to bask in that we have God's DNA in us, His very nature. Can you imagine the God of all gods, the King of all kings, the one that created heaven and earth, the one who is above all? His DNA, his nature, his sperm is in you. And who said today in the prophetic words, we're to learn to live inside out. We're to find out who we are and live inside out. To know that he loves us. 1 John 3:9 is the scripture I just said out of the Amplified. When you have received Jesus Christ's payment for your sins, knowing you can't earn it, you can't deserve it, but it is a free gift, then you are born again. His nature comes to abide in you. His very sperm remains permanently in you. And Jesus said, I don't just talk the talk, I walked it. I came and I laid my life down. I've already faced everything that you will face tomorrow, next week, next year. I've already faced it. I've already faced what you've already been through. And I, my blood, has come to heal you. And as you walk with me in a new intimacy, and when I pull back the veil to show you, you run into my arms and I apply the blood. Because I've already walked there. I'm saying today, will we no longer walk in the past? Will we no longer walk by our feelings? But will we walk letting our God have full reign in our life? That's what he wants in our life. He is calling us today on this Pentecost day to a new kingdom surrender. That means His will, His way, His thoughts, not our will, not our way. It's way beyond our finding out. And it means walking with Him in a new intimacy, a new surrender, a new, you get to have your way, God, because you're God and I'm not. And He says, when you do that, you will enter into the promised land that I have given you. You will enter into the full inheritance that I have for you and your inheritance. Now, that does not mean that it's going to be easy. It means, you remember the Israelites? They were delivered from Egypt, but they wandered around not believing God in the wilderness for 40 years. And the majority of them died there. God says, now is the time for a new group of my warriors, a new group of my partners to arise and walk with me to bring the kingdom of heaven to earth and the kingdom of heaven that's in you for us to live inside out so there's a massive explosion. Yes. How about it? Doesn't that sound like fun? In order for that to be true in your life, it means that you must be willing to look at the dark spots in your life that have prevented you from this glorious walk up to now. All of us, that means all of us, have unhealed hurts. How do I know that? Because we're imperfect, our parents are imperfect, our siblings are imperfect, and our neighbors are imperfect. We're around a whole bunch of imperfect people, and we're imperfect ourselves. And so we hurt each other. And we all have needs that we didn't know what to do with. And we tried to suck life out of our mates, out of our children, out of our neighbors, out of anybody we could get around to meet our needs. And who's the only need meter? Jesus. He's the only one who has life. There's unresolved issues. Somebody hurts you and you put it on the back shelf and say, I'm not going to deal with that. You have wrong ideas about God. You say, He loves Julie, but He doesn't love me. And I can see why He loves her, but He doesn't love me. That's a lie. That's a wrong belief. That's a wrong thought pattern. He is love, and He can't keep from loving you. No matter how immature you are, how bratty you're acting, He loves you. And He can't wait to pull back that veil and let you see that love so that when He exposes one of these dark spots, you don't run from Him, you run into His arms and say, thank you for showing me what a jerk I am. What if I'd walked all my life and never saw this jerkiness in me? Thank you for loving me. So we listening to the quickening Holy Spirit within us, and we listen to friends that love us more than we love ourselves. That would say, yeah, pretty much like a jerk. Yeah, that's true. So you don't get offended. You say, thank you, because that means God's got an upgrade for me. God is calling me to a new place in Him. Just so that I can hopefully make my point a little clearer. We are just like God is a Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three in one. We are three in one. And when we were born, our spirit was dead toward God. we could not receive communication from God, because that's what happened with sin in the Garden of Eden. And so, as a necessity, God allowed our soul and our body to take control, because we're dead spiritually. Don't have an antenna that receives from God. But the minute you receive Jesus as your Savior, the Holy Spirit comes in and has to be developed. Jesus gained favor in the sight of man and God, but he had to discover who he was too. We have to discover who we are. And we don't find out who we are by comparing ourselves to each other. If I compare myself to Jason and think I'm not good until I can sing like him, I'm going to die. Because I can't sing like him. God hasn't put that equipment in me. So therefore, we don't find out who we are by comparing ourselves to other people, or saying, they're wearing that, so I've got to wear that because they look cool and I don't look cool. So if I put that on, I'll be... No, that's not what makes you cool. What makes you cool is walking with Jesus and finding out who you really, really, really are, and learn to live from the person he created you to be, not from the ones that other people are trying to create or that you're trying to create. So when we receive Jesus as our Savior, we have all been in a survival mode. Now, for the rest of our life, we are in a transformational walk. That means learning to let our spirit be so strong that we know who we are in him. Well, how do you know? You go to the book and you read what he says about you. And if he says that you are my son, you believe him. Now, how do you become a maturing son? That's a whole other question. You can be a prodigal son, you can be an elder son, but if you're a maturing son, you're learning who he says you are, and you are allowing that to rule and reign in your life. And after a while, and it's hard work, don't get me wrong, it's hard work to get your soul and your body to turn loose and quit being in control. But when we will allow him to turn us to himself, we will escape and be able to do what Hebrews 10:39 says. Hebrews 10:39 says, we're not of them. Say, I'm not of them. I'm not of them. That draw back. You're either drawing back into your place of wounds, unmet needs, past way of living. You're either drawing back. But for them who have faith into the saving of your soul. Jesus saved your spirit. Now it's your job to partner with him to save your soul. I've been so blessed lately by reading the Passion Version of Song of Solomon. As I read there, Jesus says, when you're intimate with me, you just walk with me, you ravish my heart. You make me breathless when you walk with me, when you learn to trust me. That's what happened, brothers and sisters, at the garden. We stopped trusting him because Eve thought, I think I've got a better plan than God does. I'd rather not be dependent on him all the time. And we know how that worked out. There is only two ways. We either depend on him or we're drawing back. And if we're drawing back, we're going into darkness, and that's serious. That is extremely serious. But the good news is that if we will give him the dark spots of our soul that he reveals, when he opens them up, start rejoicing, because he doesn't show you anything except what he wants to heal. So don't run from him. Run into his arms and say, thank you for showing me the jerkiness I am and what a little brat I am, so that you can heal my brattiness, so that you can heal the jerk I am. Thank you that you've already paid for that on the cross. Thank you that you've already been there, and you said your joy was waiting till the day I embraced it and said, thank you that you're healing me today. Thank you that. And the good news is that as we walk in his presence, even though none of us are mature here or where we're going to be, none of us have arrived, when we walk in his presence, responding to him in surrender, your ways, not mine, you're God, I'm not, you supply my needs, thank you that you're doing it today. As we do that, 1 John 1:7 says that you're pure. Isn't that exciting? Before you get mature, before you get perfect, he says, if you're just walking with me as best you know how, there's no rebellion, there's no resistance, you're just surrendering and embracing and trusting me to do what you can't do and what we can't partner together, then you're perfect. Your heart's perfect. Isn't that good news? Now, the seriousness of the stage of where we're in is, if we're not pushing forward with him, trusting him, letting him be God, enjoying that intimacy with him in the Holy of Holies, our heart gets hard. We were born with a hard heart. And when we were born again, the life of God came in us, and those layers of hardness have to be peeled off. He gave us a new heart, but that new heart is released and the life comes out as we are obedient to him. How many of us just delight? Oh, I love the word obedience. I get to wake up today and be obedient. Usually we don't really think that way. You know, I bought a book simply because I liked the title. The title, the book is written by Eugene Peterson. It says, I heard Becky mention it the other day. I think I've written it down here and maybe I can remember it. It says, a long journey of obedience in the same direction. That is our assignment. We are on a long journey of obedience in the same direction. That means doing what you know is right, whether you feel like it or not. It means trusting him to be himself in you when you don't feel like it. I have another scripture that I want to read you. It has been almost a life verse, not one I would choose. But 1 Peter 5:10 says, and after you've suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who imparts all blessing and favor, who has called you to his own eternal glory in Christ Jesus, will himself complete and make you what you ought to be, establish and ground you securely, and strengthen and settle you. Ladies and gentlemen, when we walk that long journey of obedience, we're building character. We're building capacity. He has to push out of us and remove all those black spots in order to have a place to live. So we have to let him heal those. And in healing them, he expands the capacity so he can fill us. We all want the glory, but there's a price, my friend. He says, I'm looking for a partner. The same Song of Solomon Jesus is saying to his bride, I want a partner. I saved you, and it's free by grace. And I will give you my grace to partner with me that I be formed in you. But it's hard work. It means loving that person that you would prefer to mash the delete button. Amen. It means pushing through to find Jesus' heart for that person that you don't have it yet. It means suffering that you think you're going to die, and those around you say, die quickly. Your flesh stinks. So we're to help each other. We're to help each other die quickly. Because God said in Psalms 95 to the Israelites that they hardened their hearts toward Him. And He was not pleased with them. And then He went back in 1 Corinthians 10. And He said the majority of them died in the wilderness because they hardened their hearts. Pharaoh's heart was so hard that it took 10 plagues to soften it. I don't want my heart to be hard. And I know that I have hardened my heart many times. God showed me one time, my dad and I didn't have a close relationship as I grew up. And God showed me that I had hardened my heart. And in the last 6 years before he died, he lived within yards of me. And when he found out how he had wounded me, he was oblivious. He didn't realize it. My sister reminded him. And he didn't realize it. And he came to me and said, Doreen, I'm so sorry for so-and-so. I was kind of shocked at the way I responded. I said, thank you. I forgive you. But there was no emotion. There was no emotion. I did the right thing. I said the right thing. But there was no emotion. And that's okay. We start with what we can do. A few weeks later, God said, you know, you did the right thing, but your heart was hard. And I said, God, you're right. I can't soften my heart. I repent of my broken and hard heart. Will you soften it? I repent of the hardness that I put there. And he brought the tears and he brought the emotions. So don't be afraid to look at your hard heart. But when you feel like, I've suffered long enough, God, how long already till we're through with this? He says, in the fullness of time, I will release it. In the fullness of time, Jesus came. In the fullness of time, when you've suffered for a little while, I've expanded the capacity in your heart. In the fullness of time, it will overflow and I will have you established, and you will realize all the suffering you've done has brought this beautiful garden. Because you're His garden. He loves to come and enjoy His garden in you. He learned obedience by the things that He suffered. Who are we to think we are not to also? The son, the servant is not better than his master. We're not better than our Lord. Romans 8:17-18 says, and if we're His children, then we're His heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, sharing His inheritance with Him. Only we must share His suffering if we are to share His glory. We all want the glory, but we don't want the suffering. But can we embrace the suffering knowing it's a badge of honor? He knew He could trust you with something that was so difficult that you felt like you were dying. Because he could use that, you, as his right arm to bring his authority and his power on earth. Only we must share his suffering if we are to share his glory. But what of that? For I consider that the sufferings of this present time, this present life, are not worth being compared with the glory that is about to be revealed to us and in us and for us and conferred on us. So take that by faith, that he says, if you will suffer with me for a little while, then I will redeem and give you authority over that, not only in your life, but with others, to bring my kingdom to earth. Well, how do we do that? We do it by starting where we got off track. Romans 1:24a says, because when they knew and recognized him as God, every one of you all have known and recognized him as God. You knew he's God sometime in your life. They did not honor and glorify him as God or give him thanks. So therefore, we start back where we got off track. All of us have known that he's God, and we stopped thanking him. Joseph was a wonderful example today of giving thanks. He started thanking Jesus for shedding his blood. He thanked him for many, many things. And I thought, that's a beautiful representation. If you don't know what to thank him for, start thanking him that his plan for you is perfect, that his blood has covered this situation, and he's waiting for a partner to join with him to push through that barrier, that reckless love, to climb that mountain with you, to kick down the wall. But you have to partner with him. And so the first thing you do is to give him thanks. You give him thanks. You wake up in the morning thanking him that you're victorious for this day. And he showed me this week that when you will be faithful to do that, it releases a healing oil in you. It releases a healing oil in you. And then that person that you have trouble being patient with, loving, you're intimidated by, or you're angry with, or whatever the fruit of the flesh is when you're around that person, you go to God and say, God, let me see that person the way you see them. You died for them. You shed your blood for them. And start praying for them that the veil on their eyes will be removed. And use your holy imagination to imagine them being the person that you love being around, and then respond to them as if they are that person until you can see through the things that so turned you off. But you release the fruit of the Spirit, whether you feel it or not. That's called faith. Ladies and gentlemen, that's all we've got to give him, is faith. Believing what he says is true, and relating to it and stepping in it and embracing as if we felt it. That's not hypocrisy, and it's not fake. It's faith. It's faith. Believing in the unseen and releasing the fruit whether we feel like it or not. And if you'll do that, your time is now. Your time to walk on water as the bride of Christ, carrying the lamp of his word, walking on water, knowing that your time is now, that you are becoming more the maturing bride. You are allowing his Spirit to control you, not fear, not shame, not dishonor, not reproach, and letting his lamp shine the way. Being who he created you to be, being yourself, finding out who that is, and enjoying being in your own skin. Knowing that He made you fearfully and wonderfully made, and you are His precious possession. So when we do that, this picture shows the bride of Christ bringing the heavens to earth and the earth to heaven. We have the seven mountains out there. Let's climb the eighth mountain today, which is the mountain of His presence. And if we will walk in the mountain of His presence, everything else just dissipates. Everything else is insignificant. We're becoming the maturing sons. We're becoming the bride of Christ. We're releasing His glory, whether you feel it or not. I thank you for being my brothers and sisters. And I declare to you today, divine grace, wisdom, courage, strength, understanding, discernment, and favor to ascend and abide in the eighth mountain of the Lord. Let's thank Him. Father, I thank You that You're our Father. I thank You that Your love is something we can't even grasp. But we say to You, help us to learn to love You the way You love us. And we know that's going to take a lifetime and an eternity. But we thank You that we're on the journey. And thank You, Jesus, that You paid for everything we need, for now and for tomorrow and the next day, so we can walk with a new confidence and security that You've got us. And we can learn to live inside out. And thank You, Holy Spirit, for making the Father's plan so clear, and Jesus' provision applicable to every one of our problems, no matter what it is. So I bless You in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, that you will know who you are, and you will walk in great freedom and liberty and joy in Jesus' name.